Hosea chapter number 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Then said the Lord unto me, Go yet, love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress, according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver, and for a homer of barley, and a half homer of barley. And I said unto her, Thou shalt abide for me many days, thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, and without a prince, and without a sacrifice, and without an image, and without an ephod, and without a teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days." Let's pray. Father, Lord, help me this morning. Lord, help me to focus my thoughts and the words, Lord, to only be what you would have me to think and to say. Lord, just pray that you'd help me to be a blessing to the folks this morning. Help us as we look at this thought about a bought and a buying. Lord, I pray that we would be everything that you have given for us, that we would be for you. Lord, help us this morning and just help this to be a blessing to someone here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in Hosea chapter 3, verse number 2, the Bible says, "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley." So what we see here is, remember how Hosea went and found Gomer to start with, okay? And there's a reason I've been kind of reviewing every week. I want to keep that fresh in your mind. And Hosea went and basically asked Homer, or I keep saying Homer, because we just read Homer of barley. I keep saying Homer instead of Gomer. So if I say Homer, I really probably mean Gomer, all right? Wowzers. All right. But Hosea, that and it's Hosea and Gomer, so it's like Homer instead of, anyway, all right. So Hosea went and he asked, Hosea went and asked Gomer to be his wife, okay? And then they had a child together, which his name was Jezreel. And then Gomer went and basically committed adultery. She went to another lover. And, you know, that there's two things in the Bible that we would see. You would see somebody that would be an adulteress or an adulterer. And that means basically being in a marriage relationship and going to another, basically having an affair is what we would call it in our day and age, the terminology we would use. And they would go to another lover, okay? And that's what the picture that we saw, remember, is this is a picture of Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and us going back to the world, okay? We leave everything that Christ has done for us and everything that God has done for us and we go back to the world. And that's one thing. That would be a Christian, in essence, committing adultery against God because of what God gave for us and what God did for us. And then God says, well, I'm going to go back and I want to bring you back. I want to woo you back. And that's what Hosea did with Gomer. But we see in chapter 3, it's kind of interesting. I think that Gomer not only went to another lover. Remember over in chapter number 2, we saw that she was basically turned to destitution. She had nothing. I mean, you know, and we saw in chapter 2 that she didn't have the oil and the corn that Hosea had provided for her. So I just want you to think through this process. If she can't have somebody provide for her because her lovers aren't going to provide for her, so she has to go out and provide for herself. Well, basically what she's doing is she is going from just being an adulteress to being a harlot, okay? She's basically going from just going for the fleshly satisfaction for herself. She's going from that position to selling herself, okay? So there's a transition here. And we see in chapter number 3, I believe that Gomer has basically sold herself as a harlot for a prostitution to make money, basically, okay? And in chapter 3, verse number 2, the Bible says, "So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half homer of barley." Now, I don't know. I don't know what she did. You know, if you go into, and we don't, they may be around here, I have no clue. I don't think it's around here. I mean, prostitution is what you think of as, you know, that's a Chicago, you know, that's what people do in big cities and stuff like that. And I don't know, it probably happens around here. I have no clue. Okay. But what it is people that, you know, and most of the time, if you know how that type of thing works, there's a man or somebody that is over all these prostitutes, okay? And they basically get a percentage of income off of what these women make, okay? So basically, in a way, he owns these prostitutes, okay? That's, and I'm not trying to be, and this is part of the Bible, okay? I'm not trying to be gross or, but this is, and God uses this as an example of what Christians are doing to him. And I think it's a very good example, okay? And so God says, okay, I've got all these, Hosea is basically going to the man that Gomer sold herself to, that says, okay, Gomer went to this man and says, okay, I want to work for you. I just got to put food on my table and I got to provide for my family, so I'm going to work for you as a prostitute. So Hosea goes to this man and he buys her back from her life of prostitution. Okay? That's basically what's happening here. All right, so this morning, you know, and God has done that for us. But this morning, I just want to challenge you. You know, we are bought, the Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Because why? Because Jesus Christ bought us with a price. He bought us. And you know, if I go buy something, okay, if I go buy something, does that belong to you? No. It belongs to me. So if God buys you, do you belong to the world? No. You belong to God. Okay, so is God getting what he paid for? Is God getting everything he paid for? Okay, and I want you to think about that, because, you know, in the first instance here, we have Hosea going to Gomer and say, Gomer, I want you to be my wife. She goes and commits adultery. Then she goes and lives in a life of harlotry. And, you know, I'm afraid, especially you see this, and this is Christians across the board. I'm not saying young people. But young people are given such an opportunity to, now I want you to listen, and I hope I make sense. Young people and Christians are given such an opportunity. God brings them up from the depths of sin, or maybe they grew up in a Christian home, which is even better. So in a way, God bought you. God buys them. But what they want to do is they want to go, you know, remember, Hosea and Gomer were husband and wife. And just like that, Christians, sometimes we want to go back to the world and we want to sell what God has given us back to the world. And you know what that is? That's harlotry. You are prostituting, in a sense. Listen, you're prostituting the gifts that God has given you. The gifts that God gave you to serve him. You're prostituting those back to the world. That's what it is. If God give, and that's why, you know, I've had people ask me, Bro Chad, why do you want to serve God? Because in a way, I'm scared not to. Because of all the heritage that God's given me and what God's allowed me to learn and what God's allowed me to do, why should I not use those things for God? If I go and all I do is I sell my skills to the world, I am prostituting what I have been given. I'm selling it to somebody else. Does that make sense? And I'm afraid so many times, you know, you see young people and they've been given so, so much. The Bible says, to whom much is given, much shall be required. And I'm afraid sometimes then you wonder, well, I wonder why God did that to them. I wonder why God took that from them. I don't know, maybe God said, you're going to use that for me or you're not going to use it at all. I'm not saying that's the case in everything. And it's by far not. Sometimes God sends people through trials to make them a better person. And I'm not saying that. I don't think we can be judgmental in that regard. Because people go through things that, you know, I believe they're in the perfect will of God. But God just got, and it goes back to that fiery trial. God wants you to make you a better person. But at the same time, if God gives us something, how dare I say, well, yeah, God gave me these talents, but I'm going to sell them to the world for its use. Pastor mentioned in one of the messages, maybe he mentioned it here. I can't remember. I've heard so many messages here recently, but he talked about, well, I think it was, he was talking about the Epleys. That's what it was. He was talking about the Epleys and how they still serve God with the talents that God's given them. And then he was talking about how, I think he mentioned Whitney Houston and some of the other, how many, you know, what was Elvis? Didn't he start singing, you know, in a church? But you know what they've done? This is exactly what I'm talking about. And I hate to keep using the word prostitution, but that's what it is. Amen. God, you know, a woman, God gave her that life, and she has no right to go just sell it to anybody. Okay? But that's what it is. God gave them that talent, but they're selling it to the world. Okay? So we see that. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would. So we see that that Gomer basically sold herself. And then we see, though, that, you know what? Yes, there are people, and sometimes we get away and we want to sell our talents. We want to sell what God's given us to the world. But you know who came back and said, hey, I'll buy you. Remember, this is basically buying the second time. He said, I'm going to buy her back. I'll give you whatever money you want for her because she is my wife. Whether she has committed adultery and whether she has played the harlot, she's still my wife and I want her back. And Hosea had to pay a price for her. But let's go over to let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Referenced this one just a moment ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 15. Bible says, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This ties in perfectly with Hosea chapter 3. God bought us. He gave his own son to redeem us from our sin. So he bought us. Remember what I said. If I buy something, it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't. If you buy something, it don't belong to me. It belongs to you. Okay? So if you own something, you have the right to use it. Listen, I'm the same level as everybody else. If I can get this through my brain, if God bought me and if I own something, I can do with it whatever I want to. I can buy the most expensive diamond. I read this but you know, a diamond is basically carbon, the hardest substance in the world. You realize that if you have, and this kind of cracks me up, but if you have, let's say you have a whole bunch of diamond rings, real diamond, and I kind of got thinking about this. I was like, man, I should have just bought cubic zirconia. But I'll get there in just a minute. But anyway, a diamond, if you have a house fire and you have diamonds in it, they're carbon. You know what happens when carbon gets hot? Burns up. The hardest substance on earth, a diamond, hardest substance that man knows right now, as far as I know, unless I've come up with something new, is a diamond. But at the end, if you have a bunch of diamond rings, your gold will be there. It'll all be melted down, but your diamonds won't, because they're just carbon. But if you buy cubic zirconia, it'll still be there. Just throwing that out there for y'all. See, now you like this stuff. It's pretty good, huh? But I don't know where I got off on that at, but you know, if I buy something, a very valuable diamond ring. If I buy it, it belongs to me, and I have the right, if I want to give it to anybody I want to do anything to it that I want to, because it belongs to me. I'm always fabricating something. I got an idea of, I think I can make this just a little bit better. Okay? But, you know, the only thing I do it on is my stuff. I'm not going to go to your house and, you know, just start, you know, tearing walls out because I think I can make it better. It doesn't belong to me. I have no right to do that. And the same thing, you can have the most valuable thing that you think you possibly could have. But it, you know what? If it's yours, you have the right to do with it whatever you want. If God owns me, He has the right to do whatever He wants. And if you can comprehend that, it's like, okay, well, God, you're in control. Now, if I do something foolish, I have to pay the consequences for my foolishness. But if God sends something into my life, it's up to God. Brother Epley said something wonderful the other night. You know, if you're dead, you don't care what happens to you. You don't care what people say to you. You don't care what people do to you if you die to self. You know, if God has somebody that's dead to themselves, but He can use and do whatever He wants to, I mean, you know, you're a possession of God if you're saved, because you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen. Okay? Chapter number 7, 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse number 22. Let's look at verse 20. The Bible says, "Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant, care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." All right? And we see God basically, He's talking to servants here, and He says, okay, so if you're a servant, that man, and we could go to other places where the Bible talks about servants and your attitude towards your master, and we probably should in this context of what we're talking about. But you belong to that man, but in the same regard, you're free. And He's talking in a physical sense, yes, you belong to that man, but in a spiritual sense, you're free because Christ made you free through salvation. But it also says, but ye are bought with a price in verse number 23. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. That's not talking about, because Paul understands here that there's servants in this time and area. He's not talking about, well, you're not supposed to be a servant of men in the regard of you're not supposed to be a slave. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you are not to be a servant of men, you're to be a servant of God. That's the context that he's talking about right here. He's like, don't serve men. You cannot serve God and mammon. You only have one master. And you know what Gomer's trying to do? She's trying to live the life of two different people. She's trying to go to the world, and she wants to come running back when she has a need. And finally, she just says, well, I got to go to the world for my needs and, you know, for pleasure. And so Hosea has to go and buy her back. All right? So God doesn't want you to serve the world. God wants you to be a servant of Him. Romans chapter number 7. Oh, we are. No, we weren't. We were in 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter number 7. Verse number 13. Romans chapter 7, verse 13. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Look at this statement, sold under sin. Sold under sin. What does that mean? What does it mean to be sold under sin? Well, obviously, the Bible says, for ye are bought with a price. So what did God have to buy us from? Sin. We are sold under sin. We are the slave, if you would, of sin. But we're put on an auction block, and you know what God what happens all the time? God will bid higher for you than what the world will. God wants you more than what the world will. But the funny thing is God will come to you. Okay, he bids the high bid. For instance, how many, everybody's been to auctions in here. I hope if you haven't, you really need to go. Okay? But you bid a high bid. But here's the deal with God. The servant standing over here, and the world and God are bidding against each other for you. And God says, I'm just going to use it. The world says, I'll give you $50 to use you, to abuse you, to waste you, and to throw you away. Right. And God over here says, I'll give you $100 to use you, because he wants what he pays for.
Right.
To use you, but I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to shelter you. I'm going to care for you. I'm going to love you. Sorry. And the auctioneer, 50 to 100, what does he have to say? Sold. But here's what God does. God says, okay, I bought you because salvation is for everyone. But then this is what he does. He says, if you want me to, I will take you with me. But you don't have to. I will buy you. I paid the ultimate price for anybody. But, God will never force his will on anyone. He comes up to the slave and says, I give you a choice. The sad thing is so many people, even though God paid more than what the devil's willing to pay, even though God is more willing to take care of you and to provide for you and to be there for you, so many people, they see what the devil has to offer face value. Say, I'll take the lesser price. Isn't that sad? That so many people, they don't understand that God gave so much for them, but at the same time, he's not going to force you. But you know what? If this servant says, all right, I want to accept that you bought me, but I want to go over here. You can buy me and you own me, but I'm going to go over here and I'm going to serve him. Does that even make any sense at all? No. So why does it make sense that a Christian who accepts the gift, okay, if you don't accept the gift of salvation, that's fine. That's your prerogative. If you don't accept that gift from God, go serve the devil. He'll pay for you. And he'll treat you just like I said a while ago, he'll treat you. But if God buys you, how dare you go serve the devil and the world? That's not right. In all ethics, that is not right. Amen. I want to go to 1 Kings. This is kind of interesting. I don't know of any other man in the Bible that this is said of. 1 Kings chapter 21. Verse number 20. 1 Kings 21, verse 20. The Bible says, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, this is Elijah speaking, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He sold himself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. You think sometimes, how can somebody be so wicked? How can an adult Adolf Hitler be so wicked? They sold themselves completely wholly to somebody. Verse number 25. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. You know, God would have given mercy to Ahab too. Remember, God's gift of salvation is available to anybody. It's available to everybody. There is no, you know, I'm not a Calvinist, okay? I don't believe that some people can be saved and some people can't be saved. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Okay? So I don't believe in Calvinism at all. But at some point, Ahab sold himself to the devil. He sold himself to do wickedness. I was reading this in my devotions not too long ago. I don't know where I'm at, in 2nd or 1st Chronicles, I think now. But look at verse number 27. And this is just, I don't know, I think this is, here again, it's the grace of God, okay? And it came to pass, when Ahab heard those words, that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Isn't that amazing? A man that had sold himself to serve Satan, to serve the world, at the end of his life, because he dies within the next two chapters, he dies. An archer takes his... Remember, although God basically said, okay, you're not going to go through all this in your life, but you still have to pay for Naboth's death, there's still consequences for sin. But God said, all right, because you repented and because you're sorry for what you've done, I'll give you... I won't bring this judgment in your life. But your children will pay for it. Folks, whether you... Well, I'm going to go serve the world. I'm going to go serve the world for the first 60 years of my life. And on my deathbed, I'll say, well, God, you can buy me now. Yeah, what, with, you know, 10 hours left to serve him? I'm not a real good investor. But that's not a real good investment. I'm not saying God won't do it, because God will save anybody. But why not give, you know, as a young person, I'm not very old. Why don't I give God the best of my life? The best part. But you know what? Even though God maybe eventually, I don't know. The Bible says he forgave, or basically God forgave him right here. But you know who still paid the consequences for selling himself to the world? His children did. And you see it over and over and over again. You sell yourself to the world and somebody will pay. Somebody will pay. So, just in the case of Gomer and Hosea, we see another... I mean, Hosea is full of metaphorical things. And I think it's great. But what are you selling yourself? If God bought you... Let me just say this. He ought to get everything he paid for. He can do... Remember, he can do with you... Bro, Chad, I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't either. But if you belong to him... God could kill me right now. And would be perfectly just and perfectly right to do so. Because I belong to him. So, you know, if I walk out of this room and I die, don't blame God. Don't blame God. God owns me. Amen. All right? But is God getting all he paid for? Or are you belong to him, but you're committing harlotry by selling yourself to the devil? or you belong to him, but you're going in and out of the world and committing adultery with the world, even though you're married in an essence to the body of Christ. You can only serve, you cannot serve God and mammon. You can only serve one master. And let me just say, God's a great master. Folks in here would testify that God is a good master. God's a wonderful master. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Lord, help us to just take this thought with us. Lord, about how you bought us. You paid a price for us. You gave your only begotten Son that we could go to heaven. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't sell ourselves. And Lord, help me not to prostitute the talents as you gave the men the talents in the story of the parable of the talents, Lord. And Lord, help me not to give those back to the world, Lord, but help me to increase them and help me to use them for you and for your glory and your honor. Lord, help us all just to give you what you paid for. And Lord, we love you. Lord, I pray for the children's prayer that'll be coming up. And I pray, Lord, that you just bless the young people and bless the teachers, Lord, and just every aspect of the service to follow. In Jesus' name.